Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I'm glad that so many intrepid souls have braved the snow today, showing that the Groundhog Day Mass is that important to you. Now, what is Groundhog Day but a reflection of our longing for the tipping point from winter to spring? If the groundhog sees his shadow, as the custom goes, then 6 more weeks of winter. But if he doesn't, then spring will come soon. So the question remains, how long? We see this liturgically in other ways. Advent is a period of waiting, when we continually say, how long? And Christmas is the culmination. And so today we celebrate the last day of the broader Christmas season. But some of us have already experienced that letdown that comes after Christmas. The intensity of the holidays is long over, and regular life for most of us has resumed. After the holidays, our burdens feel just as great, if not greater, than before. So once again, we ask as we did in Advent, how long, O Lord, how long? We see a pattern then, not only liturgically, but also in our lives, of longing and fulfillment. Our gospel reading brings us to Simeon and Anna, who were waiting in the temple. They had a promise of redemption, but the fulfillment was long in coming. Anna became a widow at about the age of 20, and she remained in the temple, as the gospel tells us, until she was 84, fasting night and day. And according to tradition, Simeon was much older than that, both of them wondering all the while, how long? Now, this brings me back, just briefly, to this theme of Groundhog Day. Some of you know the Groundhog Day movie, the one with Bill Murray, and its theme of repetition. The same day, over and over. I suggested to my daughter that we watch that this year. We haven't yet, because she said, you know, it's just too much repetition. She didn't like the movie that much, but the repetition is the point. It's supposed to wear you down a little bit. Yet some of us know the feeling all too well in our real lives as we see the patterns repeat and we ask, how long? What makes you say that at times? What weighs you down? Could it be your own besetting sins? Or a difficult family member who hasn't come around? How about your own tendency to judge others, which you can't seem to overcome? Or what about the loneliness that at times confines you? So at times, no doubt, you can relate to the way St. John of the Cross describes Simeon and Anna, just this way, poetically. With prayers and sighs and suffering, with tears and moanings, they asked night and day that now he would determine to grant them company. So at least with sighs and suffering, sometimes you should feel this way if you face the reality of a fallen world. Now, if those words seem too heavy, then at least you can put a humorous spin on it and liken your experiences to that Groundhog Day movie. Yes, we do get breakthroughs, just like the liturgical years with the holidays to break the monotony, but then the longing returns, longing and fulfillment, one foot after the other, at what times feels like a never-ending journey. Now, in that Groundhog Day movie, the pattern of repetition is eventually broken, if you remember. There is redemption before it ends. And that brings us back to today's feast. Here we see the pattern of longing broken. It happens, begins to happen, when Mary and Joseph go to the temple with their child Jesus. Now, what is the backdrop of this going to the temple anyway? Our gospel reading refers to the Old Testament law. And there are actually two requirements that are fulfilled at once in this temple visitation. There is the requirement that women go to the temple to be purified 40 days after giving birth. And so, neatly, this creates a 40-day liturgical season for us. Mary accomplishes here her ritual purification according to the law. The second reason is the requirement that firstborn males be brought to the temple to be redeemed. So why was this requirement given? It's because before leaving Egypt, the firstborn males were spared death only how? By the blood of the lamb. So parents were required to sacrifice the lamb in place of their firstborn son. In this case, it was two turtle doves, a provision for those who couldn't afford a lamb. But then what else do we see here? Jesus is the lamb. And at last, the repetitive sacrifices for sin can stop. We see this in Hebrews 10:10. Looking back at this example from the perspective of the cross, the writer to the Hebrews says, We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And by a single offering, that is the offering of our Lord Jesus, he has perfected once and for all those who are being sanctified. So the pattern of sin, the pattern of sacrifices, is ended. In Revelation, the Lamb, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, is revealed as the ultimate culmination in fulfillment. Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And so St. John of the Cross, in one of his poems, again, refers to how this was fulfilled in real time for Simeon. As he writes, "And so the Holy Spirit answered the good old man and gave him his word until he took God himself into his own hands and, holding him in his arms, pressed him to himself." But, then we are reminded that history isn't over yet. First, from the book of Revelation, I just quoted from chapter 5, but just after that, in chapter 6, we see that the book of Revelation is circular. We see longing and fulfillment, and more longing resumes. For the next chapter we read, "I saw under the altar." Now this is just after the Lamb was presented as the one who fulfills everything. "I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and the witness he had borne. They cried out once again with a loud voice, 'O sovereign Lord, how long?'" And so it's true, history continues, it's unfolding, it is not over yet. And some of us still have to wait. But in these readings, the readings that we rehearsed tonight, we have a microcosm of redemption, don't we? Simeon was done. "Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace," he says. Yes, he gets to depart. And Mary was purified in real time. Her purification at this temple is more than ritual and symbolic. She was the pure one for all time. She fully embodied the purity for which you and I continue to strive. And for this reason, hearing the promises of redemption with her own ears, she too can depart in peace. Right? Well, yes and no. Because what do we hear next? Those words, all too familiar. A sword will pierce through your own heart also. Yes, Mary's heart will yet be pierced. And after this fulfillment in the temple, her longing will resume. Now, Mary's pierced heart is repeated in you and me. In our sorrows, yes, those sorrows that challenge the truth of our redemption. So I have to ask, when has this been true for you? Or when will it be true for you? What tragedy might challenge the joy that you had before? Yes, there's another promise. The promise is that your longing will continue. And so now I want to pause, and I wasn't planning to share this today, but I'm going to bring out once again this old hymn book. And there's a hymn that I read the night before my son Isaac died. And then I realized just today, that today is exactly 6 months after I quoted from this hymn the day after he died. Now, when Lee and Andrew chose, this hymn is actually in our Mass today. It's the final hymn today. And Andrew and Lee had no idea what significance this hymn would have when they chose it for today's Mass. But what do we read? Now richly to my waiting heart. My waiting heart. Again, how long, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. Sighing, crying for the savor of thy favor, resting never till I rest in thee forever. This is the longing of Simeon and Anna fulfilled. At least the fulfillment anticipated and held onto ahead of time. Now, I don't bring this up in order to bring undue attention to my situation, but to prove that this pattern of God's redemption is true in every situation. The longing continues, but the sorrows do not live alone. They are not the same as the sorrows that came before. The sorrows that Mary experienced that were promised to her, now they are in light of that other promise, the light of purification, the light of the presentation, the light to lighten the Gentiles, that perfection that shines on all darkness to come. So yes, the pattern does continue, longing and fulfillment, but it's not the same over and over again. It's a spiral staircase. Yes, it's circular, but that spiral leads you higher, and the staircase has an end. Very soon, brothers and sisters, we'll enter into Lent. Yes, where there is a new kind of liturgical longing. But do you know why it's called Lent? Do you remember where that word Lent comes from? It comes from the word which means lengthen, because the days begin to lengthen. And as this happens, the days get brighter and the nights get shorter. So once again, this is similar to that Groundhog Day movie. And how? Because, now, this is how that pattern of of the sameness ends in this movie, it's because that pattern is broken when the self-absorbed protagonist receives a kindness and then finally begins to pass on that kindness to others. And this is how the pattern of sameness ends for you and me as well. But for you and me, we don't receive a mere human kindness. We receive the kindness of the Lamb, that love of the Lamb who was slain. We embrace that once and for all as the pattern of love for our lives. We learn that the promise is not that we won't be slain, not that we won't encounter the cross, quite the opposite. It doesn't mean that we won't have trials or face difficult people and loneliness, but we see in those crosses the promise of the resurrection. And this is what we share with others, to bring redemption and fulfillment into our lives and to break that pattern of sameness, that pattern of longing that seems to have no end. And so that circular staircase leads us to the top floor as we grow in holiness, as we bring the light of Christ into a world that remains quite dark. And so what do we find? Yes, a repetition. What kind of repetition? A repetition of redemption. And so we encounter that repetition at this altar as we recount once again those words of St. John of the Cross, summarizing the experience of Simeon, as he says, and holding him in his arms, he pressed our Lord to himself. This is our privilege, always liturgically, as we come to the Mass. And as Simeon said, light of light, that light of light will be given to those who sit in darkness. So let us enter more deeply into that light promised to both Simeon and to Mary, that light that shines in our darkness, and let's embrace that foretaste of the fulfillment as our redemption becomes a greater reality in our lives.